Welcome to the St Andrew's podcast on Sunday, the 17th of May 2020. When you listen to this podcast, you may find it helpful to have a Bible or a Bible app with you and some paper and something to write with. If you want to pause the recording now to get these, please do. If you have never watched Call the Midwife on BBC One, I commend it to you. You can currently watch or rewatch any of the 9 series on the iPlayer app. In this week's blog on the website, I'll talk a little bit more about why the whole programme is rich with meaning and images to stretch our thinking and responses to the world. At our quiz on Friday evening, we had a round of dingbats. Dingbats are questions where some words and letters are arranged as a clue to a word or a well-known phrase. Sometimes when you look at a dingbat, it's really obvious what the picture is telling you. Some are much trickier to work out. It can be like that when we read the Bible, and when we use the lectionary readings together, we read a number of passages from different parts of the Bible, and we look for a pattern that might be revealing what God's message to us today is. So on this podcast, I'm going to read to us 3 of the passages from today's lectionary readings. Psalm 66, Acts 17, verses 22 to 31, and John chapter 14, verses 15 to 21. As I read, you might want to write down any words or pictures that you hear in the readings. And when you put them together at the end, they may reveal a picture that God is speaking directly to you today. And then I'm going to share how these readings brought to mind one scene from a programme in the last series of Call the Midwife, and how this picture might speak to us all today. Psalm 66, from verse 16. Come and hear, all you who fear God. Let me tell you what he has done for me. I cried out to him with my mouth. His praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God has surely listened and has heard my prayer. Praise be to God, who has not rejected my prayer or withheld his love from me. And then we turn to Acts 17 from verse 22. Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, "People of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to an unknown God." So you are ignorant of the very thing you worship, and this is what I'm going to proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by human hands. And he is not served by human hands, as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man he made all the nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he's not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by human design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance. But now, he commands all people everywhere to repent. For he set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He's given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead. And finally, John chapter 14, verses 15 to 21. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. I wonder which words, phrases, or questions you noticed as we read through those passages. Why not take a few moments now to write them down and look for a connection before you continue to listen? When I prayed and read these passages, a scene from Call the Midwife came to mind. In the last series, we see a scene where one of the midwives from Nanata's house is in the home of a mum-to-be who is blind. The woman functions brilliantly in life. She's learned how to navigate the world without her sight. But the arrival of a baby is going to be a life-changing episode, and it will bring huge challenges to ensure she can care safely for the baby. Some of her family are unconvinced she can do it. But this one midwife takes the time to try to help her learn everything she'll need to do before the baby arrives. In this particular scene, we see the midwife helping the mum learn how to bath a baby using a doll. The midwife prepares the room and moves a chair out of the way to make room for the woman to come across the room. As the blind woman walks into the room, feeling her way, we see her panic. The chair she uses to navigate her way across the room has disappeared. She is clearly scared, she is unable to move, and she calls out frantically to the midwife for the chair. What looked like an obstacle to the midwife was an essential waymarker. In our readings today, we may notice that Paul is in Athens and is asked to talk to an assembly of people about his faith. Athens is an educated cultural place, and Paul hadn't gone there to preach. He was there waiting for his friends, but of course he couldn't resist the invitation to speak with this group of people who spent their lives looking for new things to learn about and new things to find out about. We hear in this passage Paul talking in their language, quoting poets that they read and their own idols, particularly their sense of worshipping an unknown God. These people were in agreement with everything Paul was saying. They knew God didn't reside in man-made objects, but they didn't know where God did reside. They had a sense that there was something else, something they couldn't see. It would have been an affable exchange with lots of humour and nodding and agreement until right at the end, Paul introduces the difference, the new thing they've not heard, that God is calling them to repent. Now, here's something they weren't expecting. It wasn't one of their usual academic or cultural reference points. They didn't know how to navigate this. Repent is a stark word, but set in the context of these readings and the image from Call the Midwife, It reminds us of the situation we currently find ourselves in. We've been making our way through life with familiar things that we look to as points of reference to keep us on track. The things that bring us comfort and a sense of security. And those are the things that in reality we rely on completely, that in effect are the things we worship. We found ourselves in a pandemic. We didn't ask for this, but it has changed our lives completely. It's taken away many of the chairs in our lives that we used to navigate through life, the things that gave us security, purpose, and hope. And now, as we enter a stage of more enormous change, as rules start to change again, and there's uncertainty, fear, anxiety, where we're not sure where to feel for chairs in the dark to guide us. This psalm tells us to turn our praise and our worship truly to God, to depend on God for our security, and most importantly, for those that cry out to God, He has not left you. He has not rejected your prayer, and He has not withdrawn His love from you. More than that, the reading in John tells us that we are never alone. You are never alone because God has sent His Holy Spirit to dwell in you, so close to you that you can never be apart from the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of truth, who will guide you in all truthfulness. And so for those who cry out to God, the Holy Spirit will be your advocate and Jesus will reveal Himself to you. And the linchpin to all of this is Paul's revelation that God calls us to repent. I've been wondering what the word repent means for us now. Throughout history and our lives' events, we've seen this happen to people and groups of people, that something happens that takes away their comfortable and known points of navigation and security. Perhaps it's a death of a loved one or an illness. Something happens that shakes all of our security and makes us reevaluate what's important. But never in our history have we known a time when the whole world together has had everything we know to be secure to be shaken. This time has changed us, and this time will continue to change us. Our choice is how we allow it to change us. To repent is to turn around, to go in a different direction, even do a great big U-turn. We have chance to ask God to show us where we should really put our trust and security, and therefore our true worship. We've chance to ask, what really matters? We have a chance now to change our path in the future. But we have short memories. That's a story that is as old as mankind. The big story of the Bible tells us a repetitive story of God's people turning towards Him, then having a very short memory, forgetting what God's done for them and turning away from God. And that cycle repeats throughout history and it continues to repeat now. We have a choice in the coming weeks of which way we turn. What should we go back to? What shouldn't we go back to? How do we make sure we remember that the God who has called us is faithful? He's not left us, and He will guide us in truth if we turn to Him and find our security and hope in Him alone. I wonder, as you go through this week, what is this going to mean for you personally in the coming weeks and months? What do you not want to forget? What will you turn away from and leave behind? Who are you turning towards, and what will that mean for you, for your family, and for us as a church? Amen.